Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for those that are here. We got a few missing today, and we're believing for them to come back in. And then we got some that are gone for various reasons, and they will be back. And all is well. But God is helping us, isn't He? Helping us with the Word, helping us to know how to walk in His love. All right? Everybody got your shoes on? Keeping your toes protected, because today is going to be one of those messages that might tend to step on some toes. You know what I mean by that? It may make things a little uncomfortable. It may be tight, but it's going to be right. It might make you squirm in your seat a little bit, so buckle your seatbelt. They don't really have seatbelts, so don't bother looking. But it's going to be good. Why? Because it's going to help us to become more like Him. And it's going to help us to grow and to learn how to walk in that love. Amen. All right. Well, let's go to 1 John. I'm not going to have you turn to John 13. We've read it a lot, and I quoted it a while ago. This simply says that Jesus said, this commandment I give unto you, to love one another as I have loved you, that you should love one another. For the world will know that you are my disciples because of your love one towards another. Did you know that Christians should be the happiest, and real good Christians are, but Christians should be the happiest people on the planet. Man, by the time we're done with this love thing, there's going to be so much love flowing out of us that, man, people are going to drive in the parking lot and go, "Whoo, there's something good about this place," and then they're going to come in and meet you. And they're going to go, "Whoa, man, something's really hot going on up in here." I said, then they're going to come and meet you. And they're going to be sitting next to you, and you're just going to be so happy. How many know the world's not happy? They need happy. Christians should be happy people. Christians should be happy people. People ask me often, "Hey, how's it going?" "I'm having a fantastic day. I don't care if it seems like my day's going to hell in a handbasket. Every day is a fabulous day for me. Every day's a good day." Why? I got Jesus. I got Jesus under the most stressful, the most pain-filled moment. I've got Jesus. And I'm good with that. Because as long as I got Jesus, I got hope, I got answers, I got help. He's my hope, He's my answer, He's my help. Amen. I'm never trying to say, communicate that I'm never having any troubles. I have more troubles than you guys will ever know. Not that I live a completely trouble-filled life, but I'm just saying things happen to all of us, right? We all face struggles. We all face things. But I don't go around talking about my troubles. Why? Because I don't want more of them. I talk about what I want more of. Jesus, You my answer. Hallelujah, because He's good to me. Amen. How do you know? Well, the Bible says God is good and does only good. He is good and does only good. And if I've got God, I've got good. And I got a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 4. See if I can get through this in time. Well, I will get done. I will not keep you forever. Forever is what you get to do in heaven. All right. 1 John chapter 4, let's look at this verse. We've already mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was. But in 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 18, it says something. It says, "Such love has no fear." So it's talking about God is love. Up in verse 16, 17, it's talking about God is love, right? Verse 18 says, "Such love has no fear, because perfect love," and that word perfect means fully developed or mature love. So such love has no fear, because perfect or fully developed love expels all fear. Did you know everything that is not of God is rooted in fear? Everything. Jealousy is rooted in fear. Bitterness is rooted in fear. Unforgiveness is rooted in fear. Anger is rooted in fear. Worry is rooted in fear. Everything, the list goes on and on, I mean, right? Everything that is of the enemy is rooted in fear. Amen? And if it doesn't bring peace, if it doesn't bring peace and it doesn't bring joy, it's rooted in fear. So why can Christians be such happy people? Because we're not fearful people. We trust in a God that removes all fear. Why? Because God is love, and this love abolishes all fear. Because I love God and I know He loves me, I know He loves me so much that He's going to help me to overcome whatever the temporary, everybody say temporary. Whatever the temporary struggle is. Now, here's the thing about that. It's only temporary if we're willing to make it temporary. What a lot of people do is they take temporary things and they make them permanent. Because they focus on the thing instead of on the fact that God's making this temporary. Right? Bible says don't put your attention on the things that are temporary, but on things that are eternal. What is eternal? God's love is eternal. God's love is eternal. And we can trust Him. The Bible says He is faithful who promised, and He can be trusted who gave us His word. Amen? All right, so let's continue to read. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. If you are afraid that God's going to punish you, you have definitely not experienced His love. Because if you experience His love, you'll know that He is not here to punish you. He sees you through the blood of Jesus. Amen? How many can be thankful for that? That's enough to make a Christian happy every day. We should be the happiest people on the planet. Amen? I say this, our church is the friendliest church in the world. Yeah. Yeah, we are. We are the friendliest church, not only in town, but in the world. We are, because we have the love of God, and the love of God makes you happy. Amen? So if you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and it scares you, then get happy. Guys, even if you're not married, whatever, go to the women's department and get you a bright red stick of lipstick, and at the top of your mirror, write, get happy. Kind of wondering where I was going with that, didn't you? Because I advise you not to use your wife, because she's going to beat you up for messing with her lipstick. All right, so here we are. So it's just, this love has no fear. It's perfect, it's fear of punishment. And when we have fear of punishment, it shows that we haven't fully experienced His love yet. We love each other because why? We love each other because He first loved us. He first loved us. Said it while ago. While we were still sinners and enemies of God, He still sent Jesus to die on the cross. And let me just say this. He did not only send Jesus to die on the cross. It wasn't like Jesus says, no, God, I don't want to go. No, I think while God was in mid-sentence, Jesus is like, yep, I'll go. Yeah, I'll go. I think Jesus came. Well, we know He did, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that what He did for the joy that was set before Him. Now, He wasn't he wasn't excited about having to be tortured and having to be beaten and having to be whipped and nailed to a cross. I mean, so in the garden, yeah, he had that moment there. But the world, I mean, and religion has got all these statues and pictures of Jesus, and He's like, you know, whatever. I mean, He's just so sad and weak and just unhappy. That ain't Jesus. Children loved Jesus. They love Jesus. Children don't like sticks in the mud. They're like, 5 seconds later, you're boring. I'm going over here. Think about it. Animals are happy little creatures. Man, the little bitty animals. I heard something the other day about, they was watching this Animal Planet or whatever it was, and there was a little baby rhinoceros. I mean, he was just bucking and jumping, about beat the guy completely up. I mean, just butting him. Why? He was playing. He wanted to play. Let's play. Let's play. Children love to play. Animals like to play. Why don't you like to play? Well, I'm an adult. You know, I've kind of outgrown that. Jesus said, and when you come to me, you need to come as a little child. Jesus likes to have fun. Hopefully you like to have fun. Right? We can live life and enjoy it. Hallelujah. That's what John 10:10 says. And then I think it's the New Living. It says that Jesus said, if I came that you would have life, then that life that you would enjoy it. So let's have some fun, right? Let's enjoy our Christian faith. It's awesome. Christians are happy people. All right. Where was it when I got off on that? Okay. Such love has no fear. Da, da, da. That's verse 20. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? If we love people, if we don't love people that we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Right? And it goes on to say, and he has given us this command. Everybody say command. Right? And he's given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. I like saying it this way. Love God. You see, a lot of churches have their little slogans. Love God, love people. I like this. Love God. We say it this way. Love God by loving people. Love God by loving people. All right? Let's use this example. What if, you know, someone come up to you and said, man, me and you, we're tight. Man, we're good. Brother, I got to tell you, man, I hate your kids. Your kids suck. They irritate me. They bother me. I cannot stand your kids. Oh, but man, you and me, we're good. How much of a relationship do you think you're going to have with that person? No, dude, no. Dude, let me tell you something, dude. You got it all wrong. You mess with my kid. In fact, you know, man, we're good, but man, the other day I caught you. Your kid was knocked down, and I kicked him while he was down. But me and you, we're good. I'm like, no, we ain't. In fact, you could not even know me or not even be, you may not even like me, but you treated my kid good. Now you got a friend in me. I'll be there for you because you helped my kid. How do you think God feels? Oh, God, we come in here on Sunday. God, I love you so much. Oh, God, thank you for your grace. Oh, there's brother so-and-so. Oh, man, I cannot stand that guy. Oh, but Lord, I love you. God's going, dude. Remember what you said to my kid the other day? Remember how you treated them? We got an issue. You're going to be calming all up in here telling me you love me, but you're going to be all mean to my kids and mistreat my kids. Jesus said, this commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you, so love one another, for the world will know that they will know that you're my disciple because of your love one towards another. And God's no different. Right? You cannot separate loving God from loving his people. You cannot separate loving God from loving kids. You can't come up in here telling me, oh, PK, man, you're awesome. I love you. Man, that son of yours just drives me. I cannot stand your kid. I'll be like, who do you think you are, right? You better hope I'm having a very spiritual moment. You better hope I'm walking in love. And I would just go, yeah, it's because you don't know him very well, you know. But anyways, but you cannot separate loving God from loving. In other words, God says, how can you say you love me whom you have not seen when you can't even love the people that you do see, right? So we want to get that. Husbands, wives, what about this one? The greatest motivation for loving your husband, wives, the greatest motivation, let me flip that first, then I'll get to the wives. Husbands, the greatest motivation for loving your wife is her father-in-law being God, not the actual earthly father-in-law, because we know there can be some issues there. But you have to walk in love. But we're not talking about the earthly. We're talking about remember who her father is being God. That is the greatest motivation for loving your wife, is remembering who her father is. Yeah. Wives, the greatest motivation for loving your husband is remembering who his daddy is. Yeah. Right? That it's God. Man, I love God. So I love God, therefore I'm going to be good to you. You know, I mean, I do something to hurt Heather. One of the first things that I do, well, no, I think it is the very first thing I do. Father, forgive me for how I treated her. Before I even apologize to her, I'm like, Father, forgive me for how I treated her. I know that's your daughter. She didn't deserve that. I am so sorry for the way I said that or whatever. Right? Then I'm like, honey, I am so sorry. Please don't tell your dad to beat me up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not afraid that he's going to beat me up because I know that he loves me. But that's one of the greatest motivations, is remembering who God is. Today's message, what I'm calling this, is loving as unto the Lord. Loving, walking in love as unto the Lord. So we're going to get into some stuff that's going to be good. Did you know that family members can tell how much you love God by the way you treat them? No matter how much you say, I love you. They can tell how much you love God by the way you treat them. Because if you've got a relationship with God and he's poured his love into you and you're developing all this love and you come on Sunday, this is one of the worst examples of being a Christian, is to come in here and people see you, oh, I love you, but then you go home and you're mean to your family. I said it last week. A lot of family members that you're praying for to come into the kingdom of God are not Christians today, because they have relatives that are. Well, man, I tell you what. If being a Christian is anything like Aunt Susie, don't need that. If anything's like being like Uncle Joe, forget that. That dude is as stiff as a stick or whatever, or mean as whatever, mean as a rattlesnake. Oh, yeah, they go to church and they got their hands up and they're, oh, yeah, brother and sister, oh, man, I just love the Lord. But then when we leave, oh, man, all hell breaks loose. Christians should be happy at church and out of the church. Amen. Tight, but it's right. Right? Here's the thought I want to really communicate to you today, and I got just a few minutes to do it. All that was just the introduction to my topic, so we'll see how far we get. Our love for people is based first and foremost on our love for God. Our love for people is based first and foremost on our love for God. In other words, the way we treat people will be based on how much we really love God. Amen. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm glad I'm here. Because I'm growing. And I'm learning. I'm becoming better. Developing more in the love of God. Amen. Amen. All right, verse 30. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way your translation may read, grieve not the Spirit of God. I don't know. They may have different translations, but. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. I think the New King James or the King James says, get rid of all that with all malice, right? Instead, so get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. How do you do that? How do you get rid of all that, man? I got all this pent-up anger and hurt and bitterness and anguish. How do I get rid of that? Right? What does he say? Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. You do it with the love of God. And you do it in faith. No, there's no scripture that says that when you forgive someone, you need to feel warm and fuzzy. Forgiveness has nothing to do with warm and fuzzy feelings. Right? And forgiveness and trust is not the same thing. Forgiveness is a decision that you make. Forgiveness is given, irregardless of emotion. Rather you're feeling it or not, right? Trust is earned. They have to earn that trust back. Forgiving them doesn't mean that you just go back to before you were ever hurt by them. It just means you're not holding that against them. But the trust has to be developed back, right? And that takes time. So forgiveness and trust is not the same thing. All right, so let's look at this because it says that instead be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ forgive you. Now go on down to chapter 5, verse 1. Let's keep reading. The translators put all these numbers in there. This is one continuous letter. Imitate God, therefore. You don't usually start a letter with therefore. When you see a therefore, you have to look back to see what the therefore is there for. Right? And so based on what he just said, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, which was a pleasing aroma to God. Isn't that good? Thank you for that one low, mm-hmm. All right. I didn't even get no amens on that one. I was like, man, I ain't saying nothing. Almost gonna sit here like I'm paying attention. But he says to be tender-hearted. And I know what some of you are thinking. It's like, man, you're reading all these things we're supposed to do. How are we supposed to do this? How are we supposed to do this, man? Go with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now we're going to get into the how. I've been telling you showing you from the scriptures what you're supposed to be doing. Let's get into the how we do it. How many know it does you no good if I tell you, you need to do this, you need to do this, but I don't tell you how, right? So I'm going to try to be a good teacher today and help you to see how you can do it. All right. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14 and verse 21, watch this. there it is. John 14. I don't know what it is about my Bible, but these little verse numbers, they seem to get smaller as time goes. I think I need a better Bible. This thing's defective. All right. Here we go. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, the Father will love them. Because they love me, the Father will love them. What are we talking about? Loving others as unto the Lord. Right? Now, God loves everybody. But when we give respect and honor to Jesus, it kind of ratchets it up just a little bit more. He said it right here. Jesus is the one that said it. Because they love me. And how do we love him? By keeping his commandments. And if that commandments word bothers you, let me help you. It's by doing what he says. It's by honoring, by following the instructions of the word. It's like reading your life instructions and following them. Don't throw, in these instructions, there are no extra bolts and nuts. There are no extra parts that, I don't need that. I'll just build it with this. No, every part is needed. And this part is needed. Right? All right. So here's the deal. This right here enables you to love others when they're unlovable. Why? Because you're doing it as unto the Lord. In other words, you're not loving them because they deserve it. The world does that. We can all do that without the love of God. When everything's great and they're treating us right and they're being good to us and all this kind of stuff, who can't love like that? But what about when they're not treating you right or they're, and I mean, there is just no emotional favor towards them whatsoever. I mean, you're just like not feeling it. It's like, no, I just soon you disappear, right? Anybody ever had some of those moments? Don't sit there and lie to me. Fine, don't raise your hands. I don't care what you do. I know better. Why? Because you're a human being. We've all had those moments where, you know, I just assume you not even be in my presence right now. Right? But this kind of thing helps us. When we learn to love as unto the Lord, you're not loving them because they deserve it. You're not loving them because they're making you feel all warm, fuzzy, and feel good. You're loving them because God wants you to love them. And we're changed. So what is it? We're talking about changing this attitude about looking at what they're doing and what they deserve or don't deserve. And we're just looking at the Father and just loving because we know that's what God wants. In other words, you get to this place where you care more about what God wants than what they deserve. Right? Because in the natural, you slap me, you might want to duck because I might just slap you back, right? In the natural, right? But that's just a natural human tendency to do something like that, right? But the love of God, as we said last week, the love of God constrains us. When people mistreat us, the love of God kicks in and goes, don't do it. Don't do it. Nope, that's more trouble than you really think you know, right? But this kind of love, loving as unto the Lord, enables us to love the unlovable. It enables us to love people when they don't love you. It enables us to love people that does nothing for you emotionally. Well, they may be doing something to your emotions, but it ain't warm and fuzzy. It's not, oh man, I just want to go and take them out to eat. No, it makes you go, no, I'm going to take that gift card. I'm going to take it down there and I'm going to go eat. But the love of God goes, no, I told you to give them that gift card. But Lord, they don't deserve it. I know that. I ain't asking you to do it because they deserve it. Watch this. What if God, let's say we get up to heaven, right? And I don't believe there's any dust on the streets of gold or anything like that. But Jesus comes along and says, hey, could you sweep that up for me? Who's going to go, here's the broom. Master, do it yourself. No, we're not going to. Jesus asked me to sweep the thing. You're going to be able to eat off that thing. Right? What if we approach life like that? Our love walk like that? Because it is like that. I just read it. He's asking us. Sometimes I think we disconnect what is written in the Bible as if it didn't actually come from the Father. But he is asking us to love like that. When God asks me to love, I should love like I'm cleaning the floor and you can eat off that thing without any concern of dust or germs. Right? Because it's going to be squeaky clean. Right? What if the Lord asked you? Well, he is asking us. See, that it's called mind renewal, isn't it? Be not conformed to this world's way of thinking, but be renewed by the transformation of your mind. Or by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we got to think differently. You know, when you think the same way you've always thought, you're going to get the same results you've always gotten. Well, if you want different results, you got to do something differently. What if we begin to renew our minds and say, Lord, help me to love as help me to, in that situation, I see you. I'm not doing this for them. I'm doing this. You ever had anybody tell you that? I ain't doing this for you. I'm doing this because so-and-so asked me to do it. I actually had people tell me, hey, man, thank you for doing it. Well, I ain't doing it for you. Because they didn't like me very much. You know, some of the jobs that I've worked. You know, they didn't like me for whatever reason. They just didn't know me. To know me is to love me. That was a great place for an amen. Amen. Whatever. Right? You know, one of the last things that Jesus said, and it's further down in that in John 14, you can look it up as verse 31. But he said this, one of the last things he says was that the world would know, and watch this, this is interesting. That the world would know that I love the Father. He didn't say that the world would know that I love them. He said that the world would know that I love the Father, I will do what he asked me to do. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about going to the cross. He's talking about dying for humanity. He says that the world would know that I love the Father. In other words, if the motivation, if loving people was not the motivation enough for him to do it, he's like, I'm going to do it because the Lord asked me, my Father asked me to do it. And that needs to be our motivation. Because honestly, there are times when your likability is not strong enough to get me to do this thing for you. I ain't doing it for you. I'm doing it for him. When the Lord prompts you to do something for somebody, and you're like, hey, well, they ain't never done anything for me. I don't even know them. What the Lord's actually saying is, hey, would you do this for me? Or you could put it this way. The Lord's coming up saying, hey, can you do me a favor? Man, if you really knew that the Lord was asking you to do a favor, would you turn him down? I mean, like, okay, fine. You're like, oh, that's all spiritual stuff. Okay, in the natural, the Lord steps up. Hey, Avery, how's your day? Good. Would you do me a favor? You think Avery's going to go, well, that all depends on what it is. I mean, God is standing in front of her and asking her for a favor, and she's going to go, well, it all depends. I've got a busy schedule. No, she's going to go, yes, sir, what do you need? And if you're smart, you'll do that too. Right? And that's what the Lord's asking us to do. It's getting that mind renewal that when people are not being loving, the Lord's asking you to love them still. Now, we talked last week. We're not talking about being a doormat. But we're talking about walking in the love of God. You can disagree without being disagreeable. You don't have to respond meanness with meanness. right? Even if you can't accommodate whatever the request is. All right? So, but he says here, he says that the world would know that I love the Father. I'm going to do what he asked me to do. I'm going to go to the cross for him so the world will know that I love God. And that's the way we should be. I'm going to walk in love with you so that you will know that I love him. All right, let's look at these three verses real quick and I'm done. And I'm going to go through them quickly because I just want to see it. I don't want you to see it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Ephesians 5, verse 21. He says this. He says, and further, talking about husbands and wives, but he says, further, he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's another way of saying submitting one to another as unto the Lord. Out of reverence for Christ. Not because you think they deserved it, but because of you have reverence for Christ. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, right across the page, says this. Well, New Living uses the word slaves, but we're going to make it more modern. Employees. All right, I'll give you a moment. Put on your toe covers. All right. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. Employees, obey your earthly bosses with deep respect and fear. Oh, come on, PK. Seriously. Can you just end the service right here? Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. What's another way to say? As unto the Lord. Serve them not because they deserve your great service, but because you're looking at it, no, I'm not serving them. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's my last verse. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 18 and 19. He says, you who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Kind of the same thing we just read. Do what they tell you. Not only if they are kind and reasonable. Not only, now, bosses that don't give you the right to be mean and unreasonable. But how many know there are bosses out in the world that are mean and unreasonable? So he says here, you who are slaves or employees must submit to your masters, bosses, employers, with all respect, those that are over you in authority. With all respect. Well, I'll give them my respect when they earn my respect. That ain't what the Bible says. Ouch. Right? But there's a way to do it. You who are employers or people under someone's authority, submit to your those that are in authority over you, with all respect, do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. For God is pleased when you suffer greatly. No, that's not what it says. For God is pleased when conscious of his will. Do you live your life every day conscious of his will? It's like, I'm not going to do that because God don't want me to do it. How many know that a lot of us in here, if it wasn't for God, boy, it's all on. If I didn't have to constrain my flesh with the love of God, oh, baby, right? But because we have God in our life, because we have God. You ever heard anybody say, man, if I wasn't a Christian? Okay, that's not really a good statement. Because we're supposed to be thinking in line that we are a Christian. But for God is pleased when conscious of his will, you patiently endure. That means you endure without complaining about how they're treating you. Ooh, got a little bit harder. For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust. Oh, dude, you don't understand, man. They ain't even right what they're doing to me, man. They're completely treating me unfair. I don't have to love people like that. If you're a Christian, if Jesus is your Lord, the Bible tells us something differently. But let me tell you why even Christians don't allow people to treat them unfairly and let them get away, and think they're letting them get away with it. Let me tell you why. Because they have not completely developed in their love walk. Because we read a while ago, perfect love casts out all fear that mistreatment will stay the same. In other words, if you feel like you got to take it into your own hands, you don't trust God to deal with them. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. See, when they're treating you unfairly, who do you think you should take it to? Who's the only person that can actually fix that problem? God. God can deal with them. And if you will trust him, he will. He will either get you out, or he will move them to another company or another department or something. God will do something. He's not going to just say, I know you're being abused, but I'm kind of enjoying it, so endure. And do it patiently and act like you like it. That's not what God's saying. He's saying, hey, he said, I got you. I got you. Just trust me. Stay in love. Don't complain. Don't moan and groan to your fellow employees about it. Don't go belittling them to somebody else. Right? Stay in love. Be patient. Patient is not just waiting. When he says patiently or enduring, he's saying endure with a positive attitude. Right? For God is pleased when conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. And I like this. He says, of course, he goes on to say, of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God has called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. Was Jesus beaten and mistreated without deserving it? But just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you should follow his steps. And then it goes on, talks about some other things. But how do you do it? How do you do it? Lord, I'm doing this for you. Because right now my mind don't even like that person. I'm not enjoying the way they're treating me. Yeah, they didn't have to say it all nasty and mean, and they shouldn't say it all nasty and mean. But even if they tell you in a nasty, mean way, all right, Lord, I'm doing this, but I'm doing this for you. That's how you love as unto the Lord. Amen? Did that help anybody? Anybody feel like you need to wrap your toes up in gauze? And no, you're good? Okay. Praise the Lord. I know it was challenging, but man, I tell you, the more we learn how to walk in God's love, God is just going to take care of you. He's going to take care of those situations. But you're saying, God, what you think matters more to me than me being right. Let's put it this way. Righteousness is more important than rightness. Does that make sense? And you know how we're like, no, I'm gonna prove to them that I'm right. I'm going to stand up against them. I'm going to buck the system. They're evil. They're mean. There's no way I'm going to respect them. I'm going to show them, and I'll be right in it. But are you being righteous in it? There's a difference. Yeah, they're being unfair. They're treating you wrong. But for you to act the way the enemy wants you to act towards it, that's not being righteous. And now God can't help you in the situation because you're insisting on you being right. Come on, husbands, wives, you know what I'm talking about. It's better to be righteous and trust God than it is to be right and trust yourself. Tweet that. That's a good one right there. Right? All right. Did that help anybody? Want to stand up on your feet?